Spirit Switchboard, airing live on the United Public Radio Network, 105.3 New Orleans.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me on Spirit Switchboard. I am Carrie Lynn Shellhorn, your host, and we are broadcasting live from the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM New Orleans. Today, I'm really excited. Today, we are going to be talking about haunted forests, and I have my friend Adriana Fierstro joining us today. She is from Ontario Assistant. She is part of the UPRN family with her show Negotiating Happiness. And thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Right. I knew when I wanted to talk about haunted forests, I remembered a past experience that you had. And that's why I had reached out to you. So you had done research for Hoya Batu, a forest in Romania for Canada's Most Haunted.
I did, yes. So I'm originally from Romania, so that made it a little bit easier. And we just decided to go and research a couple of spots in Europe, and that was one of the spots, and I'm so glad that I did that. It was amazing. I think we went in with different expectations, but we still got some pretty good.
Pretty good things. Before we dive into the haunted forest, I want to talk about, can you tell us a little bit about the Ontario Assistant, and can you share a little bit about your show? I'm so excited for you about Negotiating Happiness.
Thank you so much. So I am an online business manager, so I help small businesses and entrepreneurs get organized, start up their businesses, implement different platforms, and I am your online cheerleader. So if you need online presence, I got you, like, set you up. I really love it. I have a background in legal, but since doing this, I just feel like this is my purpose, to help the little people get somewhere where they want to go. And I guess researching with Canada's Most Haunted really did help as well, because I love history, and I've throughout the years gotten to know a lot of tools to do that kind of research. So
it's a thing. Yeah. Having the tools, because I knew there was a couple of forests that I wanted to research, and I was like, how many times do I have to read about the same 5-year-old girl that went missing and reappeared? Like, I need more. And so there is patience and some savvy.
Yes, 100%. And can you learn it? Yes. Do you need some guidance at first? For sure. It also shows you how it's changed, because like 10 years ago, if you were to research this kind of thing, you were looking on forums. So it was purely,
I was going to ask
person, right?
I was going to ask if it would have to be forums and sort of like old school version of Reddit or something.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. So I kind of took everything in, and I realized that I was absorbing a lot of this techie stuff, and I loved it. And so I decided to kind of go forward, and I still do research here and there with Michelle at Canada's Most Haunted. It's just, you know, life gets in the way, we're getting busy. But I'm mostly just work these days.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, I was trying to remember how I know our paths crossed through Michelle through Canada's Most Haunted as well, but I was trying to think of when and how long ago. And then I was like, it was before marriage for you and children, and it's before I was a grandma. But I get called Queenie, just, you know, it's Queenie. I get called Queenie, not grandma, which
that's
is super
adorable.
Fun. Yeah. I think so too. And I piled my hair all up on the top of my head today, and because I was thinking I wanted to have my best Baba Yaga look. even when I was thinking about doing this show for like Haunted Forest, when my granddaughter was born, she'll be 3 in June, I had bought her all kinds of kind of like ghosty books, but for toddlers. Yeah. But one of the books was about Baba Yaga and her house with the chicken legs. Oh my so God. I have teased Miss Lily from the time she was just little. I mean, at three, she's still little, but I'm always like, someday Queenie's going to have a cabin in the woods with chicken legs. And that is where we are going to go.
That's amazing. I love that you even found like children's material on the subject, because I found a for my son Zach, he's also three. I found a Toronto Ghost Express, but it's more like Halloween type. And I'm like, it's not really, you know, very stick to it, but it's really cute.
Oh, so, yeah.
We're starting there.
The story, we'll hook up later. This, yeah, yeah. And I'll send it. The story was about the Baba Yaga, so the grandma and her granddaughter. So it just was so perfect. It was perfect. So tell me how the research began for Hoya Bachu.
So we've always wanted to go. Michelle has wanted to go to Romania for a really long time too. And I was at a point in my life where I loved making travel plans for everybody else, including myself. So it's right. Like, okay, well, come up with a trip, come up with the stops, how we're going to get there. And unfortunately at the time, everybody knew about the forest, knew, like, you can obviously find it on a map, but it wasn't really documented on how to access it. So it was kind of a trek. And we ended up using, we got to the area, Cluj is the city, and we did all of the research and we looked at all the universities. A lot of the universities, there was about five in Cluj. Romanians like academics. So there's lots of schools. Right. Really good reputation. They actually have parapsychology departments there. And
oh, that's fascinating.
Yes. And the head of the parapsychology department in one of the universities, I forget, it might actually be Cluj's university, named after the city, did a bunch of documentaries since back in the 80s on this forest. And that's how I was able to get a lot more information. But they're in Romanian, so I was sitting there trying to translate some of the tales, some of the information. And it's fascinating that I just love how much more interesting and more serious academia is there in regards to parapsychology. Whereas here, you don't really get that, right? So there are quite a few recorded scientific expeditions that have been done in that forest, because everybody keeps, you know, coming up with all of these different anomalies, you should say, right? So anyway, we got really excited because it was a very legit source. It was, you know, credentialed.
Well, this is it, know. Right? Yeah, it's not just an oral story that has been passed down, or you know, folklore that has gone blown up and added to it, you know, right. Like somebody else adds their little version and tweak to it, so it's blown out of proportion. So fact and fiction trying to weed through, right?
That's right. And this particular head of parapsychology department at the university had been studying it already for 20 years, so it's probably closer to 30 now. Wow. That he studied this forest. So we got a lot of our information that way. We did look on forums because this was back in 2013. So
this was, he have personal experiences there, or were they collected personal experiences? Probably, like, I would think that he would have had to have both, right?
He spent quite some time in there. Yes. And he also did the research, but he's also spent quite some time taking photos actually of the night sky there. He has some really interesting theories as to what they are. And my apologies, I'm paraphrasing from my knowledge back in the day. So if anybody wants to correct me, feel free. Yep. I watched a bunch of documentaries. I remember I was reading a bunch of articles on it. And most recently, when I was brushing up for the show, I was finding clips that were aired on television. So he has toured around the country as well to talk about this subject. So it's very, very well known that it's a very active forest. And honestly, we got there, we
Just the trees alone. If you research, like if you type in the name and then you just look at images, the trees themselves are bent and they're bent and dark. And then there's some photos where the like the moss on the outside is this bright, greeny, yellow, beautiful color. And then you have these dark, twisted Grimm's fairy tale looking trees. Yes.
And actually, I have a picture of Michelle walking through the path. So there are trails there that the National Forestry is in charge of, right? So there are trails that go through there.
And I found that it's 55,000 years old.
It's
that forest.
Yes, it's. I think it's. I think they said something along the lines of the oldest site. I forget which era. I don't want to misquote which era it's from, but it's very, very old. It's the oldest one in the country, I guess, recorded, right? In recorded history. Yeah. We have a huge history, though. It's not. It's not like, you know, Canada, where we go back like 150 years old, where we can go back about 2,000 years old. So, so we have quite a bit of history there. Funny enough, I have a picture of Michelle walking through the forest and the trees come up to like form a tunnel like this. Mm. Yeah. And I felt wonderful in there. I cannot say that there was a point where I did not feel so wonderful, but the entire day it was, I can only describe it as energy. I don't know how else to put it. It was just energy, and the forest is not dead, regardless of the scary looking trees. It is very much alive and healthy, I should say, you know, and we did end up finding it through a hiking app. So remember, this was 10 years ago. So I'm sitting there in the hotel room and I can see from the hotel room. I'm like, it's that way. I know it's that way.
But geocaching in Romania for the haunted forest.
Yes. I'm like, how the heck do we get that way? So we had a rented car. That poor car, the things that it went through to get there. We ended up going down this residential street that was not paved. And then all of a sudden, it was just hills. And we're like, what do we do? So we literally parked the car under a tree on a hill. No roads. It's fine. And then we like hiked up and we were kind of, and remembered there wasn't really a lot of data back then. And, you know, we were kind of, You would have been stranded if you didn't download your maps on your phone ahead of time. Right. So it was quite the adventure. We made it there. We found the clearing, the very special clearing. And fun fact, when you look at a map, it looks like there's more than one clearing. But the real clearing that all of the ghost shows cover and whatnot is just the one. And it's very obvious once you find it. But don't get fooled. It looks like could be a couple. We finally found it there and we decided to just have a picnic at the time to kind of say, whew, job well done. Let's see what. Yeah, during the day.
Okay.
So it was, it had five exits or entries, I should say, from the clearing. So clearly people would go through. So we expected to see the locals or maybe animals or whatever it is. Right. And there was no, like, I want to make it very clear that this was not like, I live beside a conservation area. This was not like that. It's not manned. It's not, there's nothing paved. There's nothing constructed. It's just paths and wilderness. That's all. So at one point we were afraid that we would encounter wolves and whatnot. So we're glad that we didn't.
Right.
So we did try to stay to the trail as much as possible.
No.
Because they were marked on the trees.
Okay. So no bear bells and bear spray kind of just in case.
We were just kind of, you know.
Bravado and adrenaline. Right.
Yes. Do not recommend. Do not try this at home. Yes. We got there. We had a little picnic. And then we set up recording devices, which we usually do. And fun fact, I found my little devices that I actually took with me.
Gosh, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, I have to show them all. So we wanted to do a ghost box for sure. So if anybody hasn't seen one, I'll show you what the portable one looks like. And it's like the tiniest little one because we had to obviously take it through the airports, right?
Right.
So here it is. It's literally a tiny radio, battery operated. This little
smaller thing, than an old school Walkman.
Yes, this little thing had us in there for hours talking to whoever. It was fascinating. I got a little overwhelmed with the translating, but then we also asked them to speak English as well. So it was kind of a mix.
So speaking Romanian.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we had just these little recorders, just like a regular,
right?
You know, mine was the USB one, not the ones with the tapes, but
right.
Canada's Most Haunted has all kinds of equipment, but these are just the ones that I had that I wanted to use. And funny enough, the recordings are still on here because I booted it up. I think I'll tell you why I've left them alone for a while at the end.
Since 2013.
Yeah, I'll tell you why after.
Okay, that makes me adore you even more, because as organized as you are in supporting people, then that's kind of a wild thing.
Yeah, no, but I'll tell you why after, why I've left them as is and just kind of like put it away after we got back. But yeah, so we were in a group of four. Melissa was with us as well. Shout out to Melissa if she's listening.
Yeah.
And we made a pact, because all of the tales that we had read were that people tend to get lost in there. And we made a pact. We're like, we can't go anywhere without a buddy. So at least there's two in two of us. And we can't go so far away from the other two that we can't see each other.
Right. So Marco Polo.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there was a lot of tales where people, it's almost like they seem to step into a time portal and they have no idea. They have no idea when they come out, you know, how long they've been gone and, you know, where they are, that kind of thing. So we're like, let's not have that happen.
So a few of those reports, they come back with a 15th century coin in their pocket.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. And the woman had no idea what you know, how much time had passed or whatever it is. And I'll tell you this, our first observation right off the bat, when you're in the middle of the clearing, we would look at it as, okay, where we came from is one side of the forest. We're in the middle of the clearing. And then we didn't go too far out. On the other side is the other. The other side was so quiet. Mm. And it was so... I should say unnaturally quiet. Remember, this is not a dead forest. There are a ton of animals, birds, plants, like whatever you want in there. It was really eerily quiet. And the other side that we came from was fine. It just sounded like, you know, twigs cracking and birds singing and everything else. So we were like, that's kind of weird. So while we were still feeling pretty great and energized,
there's a point where you don't.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So we started feeling like somebody's watching us.
Oh.
Yes.
But this is still during the day, not at nighttime.
100% during the day. This is not.
So that's fascinating too, right? Because at nighttime you get it. At nighttime it becomes a sensory thing.
Yes.
So you're already heightened and things shift because it's nighttime. But during the day, feeling watched is a whole other heebie-jeebie vibe.
Full sun out. Full sun, never experienced that before. And so imagine me and my partner, we're going into each entry, we would go and take a recording and just kind of talk and see what we get after, right? For those that don't really know the EVP process, that's how we did it. And then Melissa and Michelle would be in the back in the clearing watching us. And this was told to me after, but it was hilarious because I then told them what happened and it's actually on the recording, right? They're standing back. I'm going to a clearing and I'm sitting there going, I can't breathe. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't breathe. I feel so heavy, blah, 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 right? I come back. They let me finish my thing and they're like, so what happened over there? I'm like, what are you talking about? So I told them I couldn't breathe and they're like, so funny story, we watched a branch just go from like here all the way up and move back again at the beginning of the clearing. And we decided not to tell you just so that you could finish your recording. Because I probably would have been like, what? I'm not going anywhere now. I'm staying right in the center.
The tree branch reached out.
Yep. And down and then came back up. It was so obvious that Melissa always says this, which I don't quite agree with her. She says, I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. I don't have any gifts. I was like, I don't believe that. But she said she physically saw it. This wasn't like a third eye, you know, download. This literally was a physical thing. And Michelle, again, same thing. She's like, yep. She's like, that was crazy. And we're like, okay, whatever. Maybe that won't happen again. And then the feeling as the sun would go out more and more, you just felt like you were surrounded in the clearing, right? They're just watching. They're just waiting to see, you know. And I don't know if you guys have watched all the episodes of some of the popular ghost shows. I don't necessarily agree with what they do there as a specific.
Yes.
But we tried to be pretty respectful. So as soon as the dusk was out, we started our ghost box session, and we definitely got some really good answers. Whoever was coming through was kind of concerned for us, and they kept telling us that you could kind of hear them talk, and there was something there that wasn't letting them speak. And as soon as we picked up on that, we asked about it, and then they confirmed that yes, they're not being allowed to speak. Which was very interesting. There was a dark presence there. It was obvious by the time that, you know, spending hours and hours in the forest there. It did come through the ghost box. That was something new for me at the time. And it definitely played on my emotions 100%, because I was getting very overwhelmed with the translating, with this thing that wasn't like letting us do our thing. And it wasn't a great time. So for that portion. And then all of a sudden the spirits were saying, you need to go now. And we're like, okay, thank you. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
And we packed her up.
When it's encouraged, you have to be respectful, right?
And for sure.
A lot of that, when you talk about not liking how, or not agreeing with, or not respecting how other people investigate.
Right.
I think back to, it's about respecting the resources and respecting the land.
Yeah.
Respecting what you don't know is there. Yeah. We have to be respectful of the history of the land, the peoples, any of it.
Yeah.
We just have to be respectful. And if you're not, then you're going to have a different experience. If you're respectful, you have, you know, your experience. But if it's pushed, it can be something totally different.
Yeah.
And when we were chatting earlier this week about coming on to do this show, you said something interesting and I wrote it down. It gives you those haunted forests gives you what you want.
Yeah, so this was something that was prefaced in some of the research that I had, and I came to the same conclusion. So if you go there and you're an avid, ufologist, and you want to see that, it definitely gives you that. If you go there with the expectation to, you know, use a ghost box and have that conversation, it happened for us, and it was wonderful. We asked some questions as to why the clearing was there, because it was weird that no trees would grow in the clearing. That was one of the questions that was posed in all of those documentaries as well. They answered back and said it used to be a lake, which makes sense, because all of that sediment and mineral would probably be too much for the area.
There's supposed to be high uranium or something there that makes it somewhat radioactive, I thought, as well, too. I read in one report.
That was actually from an incident. So there is really old police footage.
You researcher, you! Give it to me!
So there's this really old police footage, Romanian police, that shows that there was an incident one day where the trees were, half of them were covered in this substance that they had no idea what it was. So they came out with their radioactive equipment to try and figure out what it is. When I was watching that documentary, they still had not figured that out, like 10 years later after that. So I'm not sure, but I think it's because there's a lot of UFO activity there.
Right.
But it was weird because the trees were covered not at our height. It was from, you know, halfway up to the top of the trees. Like, it wasn't, they had to kind of get up there and climb and figure out what it was. They could not figure it out at all. So I have a feeling that it's because of that. They do go in to show that there are a lot of anomalies in the night sky. And what they did at one point is they took pictures and they superimposed them to check for specific location. And when you did that, it created a little diamond at the top for all the where everything popped out. So I was like, oh, interesting. I wonder if that's like a door, you know,
a dimensional door.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. And it's everything, like from UFOs to apparitions, scratches, female sounds, voices. Female voices. Yeah.
Yes.
Like there's a little of everything. So when you said it gives you what you want, if you're fixated on one of the tales of that,
yeah,
that's sort of what you're going to get in a response.
Almost like
you're right?
calling it out. You know what I mean? Or you're opening yourself up to that specific experience. I don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. But that's what I would probably say.
And certainly on one of those investigative shows that was the first time that I was exposed to it. And it's quite a while ago that show was on. The researcher themselves was pushed out of that, like knocked over.
Yes. Yeah, so
by something.
Yeah. So funny story that you mentioned that is, I know which show you're talking about. We were actually about 3 or 4 days behind them. That's how our schedule coincided. It was weird. So they had filmed it and then they were out. And then we had come in to kind of do our own little things. So we did not have those kinds of experiences. But when the spirits told us, you need to go now, we packed up, we went out.
And respected.
Yes. But it was kind of like, we were running out more.
Yeah. That's okay too. Like I hear you. And now we're going as fast as we can. And
yeah.
I found there's somebody that does night tours there. So he does night tours there and he looks at it from like a skeptic's point of view as well too, but respectful of the land. And that was one of those questions I was going to ask is it protected by government, however that works, where you book time if you're wanting to go there, or is it open like a conservation where you can go whenever, like how that would work if you were filming as well too?
Last time I checked, it was just open. A lot of the forests are open. Romanians like to go. There's a saying in Romanian that we're going out for green grass, which means like you're going out in nature and having a barbecue with your friends and hanging out.
That's nice.
Right. So a lot of our forests are open and you can go camping and whatnot. No, I don't think you could. The other thing too, if you haven't seen it on a map, it's huge and it covers it.
I looked at Google Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. And you can go in for many, many different. We were just there at Cluj because that's where we thought the clearing was closest to, and we wanted to get to the clearing. But you could definitely go in other sides. And as a note, the entire day that we were there, there was one guy on a horse and buggy that came through and somebody walking their dog.
That's it.
I don't know if locals really go in too much in there from what we were reading at the time. They don't because they just know.
I think the article that I had found where it was actually somebody that was there for school. So it was a student, an international student, and had booked the night tour. And what was, you know, what caught my eye, which I mean, I'm super interested in all the paranormal stuff and my job, like just brings me to all of that anyway. Yeah. But I wrote it down, I think, Joben, Joben Bistro. So it's like a pub, but it's like a steampunk pub with a Rocky Horror Picture Show twist.
Amazing. I'm like, that's amazing.
Sign me up. I think that now I have two reasons I want to go to Romania. Three. I mean, there's I know that there's more. There's so much.
Yeah.
And Northern Romania, right? Like
everywhere. Like literally everywhere there's so much. And I think there's just so much untouched land there still. And I really hope that they keep it that way, which doesn't happen in a lot of places anymore. Right.
So I want to talk about the Black Forest of Germany because I deep dived into that too this week because I wanted to talk about that. There was a lot. And when you brought up the university having a parapsychology department, I watched, it's this really cutie patootie family that has a YouTube channel and they're called the Black Forest Family. And so they ride their bikes. They've got a wee little boy and they talk about living in that area and showing them like from their point of view, the beauty of that area, the culture, the food, the trails, and it's the Black Forest Family on YouTube, which is, they're brilliant. So watching them and deep diving, there was a professor of forest history.
The Black Forest covers something crazy. Like, I feel like it's like half of Germany. I don't know. It's so large that it's a very large forest, and they even have resorts there. They have
You can rent huts up in. So this family was talking about renting these huts up in these places, and as you different paths, it talks about the history of burning and hanging witches in the forest and the that Grimm's fairy tale sort of thing, right? But the beauty of it at the same time. So they acknowledge the folklore and bring it to the forefront as well too. I read they provide 300,000 jobs for the tourist industry, the Black Forest alone. 300,000 jobs.
It's amazing.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's huge. Yeah. Like that's a lot. Amazing.
Yeah.
But and the weird specific animals that are attached there. Did you find that too?
I didn't see anything about the animals, no.
Okay, here we go. This was crazy. So there's special animals that are specific to the Black Forest.
Oh, like I see what you mean. Right. Okay, yeah, okay.
Giant freaking earthworms. It's like Tremors.
No, thank you.
Giant earthworms. A rare black, the Black Forest horse. It's like a draft horse, but it's wild horse that's in there. Wow. Can we just keep adding to like the Grimm's fairy tale, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even know how to pronounce this. I'm going to mess it up. So if I'm messing it up, everybody just let me know. I apologize now. Capercaillie, it's a specific bird that you're only going to find in that forest. So that, I mean, there's the uniqueness of that and then the history attached to it.
Yeah.
Der Grossmann.
Okay.
Did you find that? Did you?
Where is it?
So he's like the Slender Man of the Black Forest.
Yes. Honestly, a lot of the times when I go Black Forest, for some reason, I gravitate towards all the werewolf stories.
So I don't know the werewolf stories. So I'll share Slender Man. You share werewolf.
Yes.
So the Slender Man, so he's similar to the Slender Man story. So he's supposed to be this tall man with big white saucer eyes, but he's supposed to have multiple arms. Like more than two arms. So he has multiple arms. So any children that would walk through the forest, he would chase them down and scare them so that they would tell the truth about any wrongdoings, that they would have confessions towards their parents, or he would just kidnap them and whatever he did with them, they just wouldn't appear.
Right.
So I don't know. I think, you know, those stories are told to keep your kids in line. I think, wouldn't it just be, you know, you're saving up for therapy funds later instead of college when you're telling those kind of stories, right? Like, Grossman's going to get you. But that's part of that story. And I don't know if there's, like, stories start somewhere.
Yes.
There's a truth somewhere to that folklore, whether it was just a hunter or a forestry dude that did something that went sideways and then it created into its old, I don't know, but that story is long. And this cutie patootie family on YouTube, we even talked about it. Dirk Grossman. You don't hang out after dark because of Dirk Grossman.
Yeah.
The tall man with bulging eyes that harasses children.
Oh, yeah. I gravitated towards the fact that it's well known to for people to see werewolf type of creatures, and obviously like they're massive, right? I mean, you've seen what a wolf looks like. Imagine a wolf that's not in captivity. They tend to be larger, and then imagine a werewolf and how big they must be. So if it was me, I would probably say don't go anywhere. The werewolf is going to get you, rather than this crazy looking man with multiple arms.
Right. And big bulging eyes.
Ooh, yeah.
White saucer-like eyes.
Yeah. And it's still all the ones that I read about as well, they're just sightings that apparently they do the same thing. They just terrorize random travelers. And it's kind of like, I feel like Eastern Europe typically has these tales around mountainous areas of werewolves, because Romania has those kinds of tales as well, that at night they come down into like the city. So I don't know, you're right. I don't know if it's just a tale to kind of scare children and be like, go home, it's nighttime, or it's actually, for real. Right.
There's, there was another story that I found about headless horsemen through there that would kidnap women and pull them into the water to be where the nymphs are. And I'm like, that seems like two different stories. We've got elemental stuff. Yes. And that's supposed to be the forest king. Why? I don't understand why the forest king was headless, but apparently, you know, that was another. And I found that repeatedly, that same story repeated. So I'm not sure. Right. Mm. So there's also that story attached to it.
I read about the wild huntsman there. So it's supposed to be a spectral figure that's accompanied by a pack of howling hounds, and they roam the forest, and it signals impending doom or death. So I wonder whether it's kind of a, like an omen, you know, when something bad's about to happen, then you see the wild huntsman come through.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because there are so many tales, like children's tales, about the huntsman, right?
Oh yeah.
So obviously they come from somewhere, but
witch's huts.
Yes. It's supposed to be as a warning, as a cautionary tale, for people not to kind of go into unfamiliar areas. But right. I mean, imagine
fear factor.
Imagine you see this and you're like, oh guys, we've strayed off too far. Yeah.
Therapy funds. It's required. It's required. So another story that was really fascinating that they shared was about the Hell's Valley train, and it's at Hell's Valley.
Oh, okay.
And it was this hunting story, actually. So a hunter was chasing a stag through the forest, and that area is supposed to be magical. The valley itself is supposed to have something paranormal, energetic attached to it. And the stag reached the edge and he leaped and made it all the way across the valley to the other peak. So they erected a statue of this stag to honor this story. So when you're riding on the train, you see this stag that apparently could leap to the other side of the Hell's Valley.
That's not as scary. I'm sure the kids like that story.
I guess, but is it one of those portal things?
Oh, that's a whole other conversation.
Is it dimensional? Yeah. Is it like, what are those air things, like it shoots air up and you're floating up, like if you're in space, you know, like where no gravity.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like,
oh,
there's like this, no, you jump up and all of a sudden you're floating across the valley to the other side. That's how I kept envisioning it. Yeah. And we have, not that we, I mean, there's lots. If you type in like haunted forest, there's a whole list of them. And a lot of them are just those oral stories that are passed. So when you have to research, you're finding more You do have to still kind of go into those forums where people have had personal experiences, whether they've been recorded and documented or, you know, they're just passing along, but a lot of personal stories. We have the Hermitage, right? Yeah. The Hermitage is one of those places that's close by to both of us, where you're walking in the trail and you're hearing birds chirp and insects, and then all of a sudden it just stops.
Yeah.
It just stops.
Yeah.
And then you get to where the ruins are and you're hearing chanting and drumming, and there's lights going through the, like, red lights moving through the trees. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a weird.
You know, I like that you say that, that you talk about, you know, some of these forests being portals. And I've started to kind of put two and two together, because back then when I did go to Hawaii Abachu, I wasn't really into UFOs or into understanding, right? Like, I knew people saw things, I just wasn't too invested in it. But now, reading more about it, I started to kind of understand, like, well, you're seeing UFOs, you're seeing people talk about all of these different creatures that could be like interdimensional or elementals or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, it's a door. It's clearly a door that everybody else but us use, right? And, you know, there are, if you look in the media for the Black Forest, there are reportings of UFOs across. Mm-hmm. I found one from 1954 and one from 1977. And these are the ones that kind of blew up in the media. This isn't even like, you know, you and I talking about it. This is something that was documented
and went international.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you find nuggets like that, you kind of try and piece everything else together in between, right? Because not everything gets documented, obviously.
Right.
But you're right. You still have to go in the forums, but it is easier now that everybody has a phone, everybody has a platform, you know.
Just don't be shaky. You know, don't keep that camera still. Not blurry, not movement.
Maybe it's a safety mechanism so that the men in black don't show up to your house the next day. Who knows?
I guess. I think so too. And I recently somebody had shared a story in Northern Ontario about a space of land as well too, where it's a circular place of land where nothing is, no, there's no vegetarian, no vegetation, nothing growing. And three people stepped onto this to cross. They were up there planting trees and a bird landed and disintegrated, and they yelled at each, like, to run off the property, and they aged with the person who was last on the property aged the most. Two males and a female. So I want to deep dive into that a little bit more as well too, right? And it makes you wonder where those circular, and it's the same story repeated. Even when I was looking into the Devil's Tramping Ground, like, it's a circular section of land. It's always comes back to the same symbolisms as well too, the same stories, people missing, burns, scratches,
time nothing missing. Nothing grows there. It's large, like 40 feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we need to get some hiking gear together and head to even the Algonquin, where Tom Thompson went missing at Canoe Lake. Like, they found his canoe and didn't find him for 8 days. And like, where'd he go? Oh, where did he go for 8 days? And that story is interesting too, because it's like over 100 years later and we're still fascinated with the story of the how and why and what happened. So I'm sure that there's even more stories that are local that we don't know yet and could investigate more.
What do you think about when I was reading about the Devil's Tramping Ground, what do you think about objects being moved out of the circle? Did you read that part?
Find that.
Okay, so it says there's numerous locals that could tell you that they leave plants or personal belongings in the circle overnight, and the next day they'll all be like pushed out of the circle.
So part of what I found, so that property is owned privately, so it's private it's private land that they do allow people to rent out and camp there as mm-hmm. well too. And it didn't sound like they knew the whole history attached to the land. So right. there's stories of Indigenous, there's stories of that. So if there is an Indigenous background where people have disrespected the land and those spirits are kicking that out, I would lean towards that, you know,
that's a really good point. Yeah.
That if they were being disrespectful and not honoring the land and the resources, that they were maintaining it and letting them know that there was an issue.
Yeah. There's that makes sense to me. And there's other tales where they talk about people seeing apparitions or the devil himself, where whatever that may mean, right?
Yeah.
But that was kind of interesting too.
Does that go back to you get what you want? If you're going there with the intention that, okay, there's an Indigenous background and so we need to be honoring, and so we're bringing what we need to honor the ancestors that were here for the land, or I grew up with a lot of fear-based religion. And so
most of us did
tap into that side of it now, right? Most of us did. That aspect. So I don't know. I don't know. It's every single one. Like, is there the devil actually appeared.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. No, you know what? I have to tell you really quickly before we go, the whole, that reminded me of, so what did happen after? So I have to tell you, we ran back to our hotel after we went to Huayabachu, and we were in two separate rooms. Michelle and Mel were recording. So we usually do that. We back up the camera like against the wall so nothing can like mess around with it. And it's on the camera when Mel puts the phone down, does something else, and then it starts ringing. She picks up the phone, and I, on the two floors down, I also pick up the phone because it starts ringing. And it's the two. She's like, hello? Hello? It's like, you called me. No, you called me. And I'm like, what is going on? And that night, I swear to you, something followed us back. I woke up in the middle of the night, which I never did. I slept like a baby back then, right? And it was just, I knew something was there. It was creeping me out. I couldn't do anything. I'm just like, nope, I need to have my peace. Let me have my peace. And then I realized I also lost my bracelet that was in my jacket with secured inside with an elastic. So I was like, how did that even happen? You know, it took something away from me because I was getting angry at it. Do you know what I mean? It was a bracelet that my mom had given me. And it was almost like, yep, I learned my lesson. So forward to coming back home, the phone thing did not stop for me and Mel.
Isn't that interesting?
It called us at her work, and it was on my cell phone. Like, it didn't matter. Landline, cell phone, whatever it was. And I've some points we were hearing growling, or we were hearing other static that we were like, what's going on? So there's a reason why I haven't touched this in a very long time. That's why, because there was a lot of stuff that was happening after that I was like, maybe.
Did you listen to it though?
Yes, we did.
So you've listened to it, but you're just going to hang on. I think that's clever. I think that's
smart. Yeah. So we did listen to it, and, we had some other opinions as well, and it you could hear a tunneling, even though there's no tunneling, or it's almost like a jet goes by. So you hear the right, but there's no jet. We are in the middle of the forest during the day. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we figured that it must be some sort of door.
Dimensional, for sure, especially when you're hearing it that way.
Yeah.
And when I've been in a space that had that dimensional door, that's kind of, it's hard to describe. I said it sounds like, I don't know, like when you're, it feels like when you're taking off from an airplane, how your ear starts to pop.
Yes.
But like when you're driving really fast with the windows down, it has that,
yes,
and it hums, it's and like, feels electrical. all at the same time.
You're in the middle of a storm, the middle of a vortex. Yeah, that's what it felt
super,
like.
Yeah, super, yeah. super weird. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. There are so many forests to deep dive into.
I know, yeah.
And I mean, we don't even really have a Canadian one that I could find. There was a lot of European ones. So these ones that we do have local, but if somebody's got a local story, feel free. Yes. Send it to me because I would love to know.
I also have a link for everybody that's in the chat right now. I'm just going to post it. It's a documentary in English. If you guys want to learn more about Hoyabatu Forest, I'm just sending it through right now.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah. And it's fascinating. You could keep going on and on and on, listening to it and all the tales. But thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, I loved it. I think that we need to do this again. Yes. Because I love how your researcher brain works. Because I just get frustrated and go, I just can't read the same story over and over anymore. I need to go somewhere else.
Do you want to know my controversial tool? Sure. I definitely, to refresh on everything, I definitely started using AI more. So I just put out a webinar about how to use AI to your advantages, especially as a small business owner. And I definitely sat there. I asked it questions. I asked it to pretend to role play. So it learned and trained as to what I wanted to get back from it. And it gave me a lot of different options and tales. And I was sitting there reading. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this one. Or, oh, yeah, I remember
that's
that.
Wild.
Yeah, with links, with, you know, sometimes they get it wrong, but that's where your human mind comes into
right.
it. And I know a lot of people are not fans of AI, but I definitely, this is one of those things where, yes, I still have this, but I now have better tools, right?
Right. So next week on Spirit Switchboard, it's going to be a special episode because it's a sneak peek into my personal life, and my daughter is coming on. So Miss Brooklyn will be here, and we're going to be discussing what it's like to have a whole family structure that's intuitive, and also talking about, you know, intuition versus crushing anxiety and having anxiety with your intuition and the things that we do to move through that. So just thank you everyone for joining us today. Thank you all for tuning in. Thanks for all the people in the chat room, and a big shout out to the United the UFO Paranormal Network and the United Public Radio Network 105.3 and 107.7 for hosting us. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. You've been listening to Spirit Switchboard with host Carrie Lynn Shelhorn on the United Public Radio Network 105.3 New Orleans.